Blog Talk Radio.
Behold the cross on which was hung, life's very Lord, God's darling one, Mary's own babe, so cold and so still, helpless before her on Calvary. Upon his cheek and his pierced heart, broken in two, love crucified for me and for you. Eyes that won't see, ears that won't hear, lips that deny the friend once so dear. Slowly he turns and captures your heart, then passes on Calvary to die. Behold the cross of Christ in our midst.
Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. I started off with a solemn tune, and if you heard the words, behold the cross, how many million Americans do you think today, veterans, are carrying a cross? We know the wounded are carrying a cross. They will have it for the rest of their lives. And we know the guys who are wounded mentally will carry the cross for the rest of their lives. But there's a lot of guys who came and went through Afghanistan and Iraq who also, in their heart, carry a cross. Maybe it's a thought of a fallen buddy. Maybe it's the nightmare of seeing somebody shredded to pieces by IEDs that were assembled with Iranian copper lugs. And now we have a government that wants to sweet-talk our murderers. Well, that can't be. And it's not only the walking wounded, the mentally wounded, it's also the veterans who are being murdered in VA hospitals using the time factor. We have no time for you. We're taking you off the list. And you want to know something? All of the cover-ups and all of the bonuses won't make it right. And the blame solely relies on the Congress. The blame lies with the Congress. The Congress has had to know about it. They have thrown emails in the garbage with pleas for help. The entire Congress should be held in contempt for what has taken place over the years in these VA death camps. And they should all be fired on the next election, every one of them. And we shouldn't have more than one term per termite. If you want to clean up your government, the first thing you got to do is fire everybody. And when their term of office is up, they should be relieved of duty and replaced by another incompetent. So, having said that, we're going to tell you what we're really talking about tonight. I'm BSing with him, he's BSing with me, and together we BS the gullibles. No matter where you look on the border, in the Congress, in the Middle East, in the Ukraine, the message is the same. I'm BSing with him, and he's BSing with me, and together we jointly BS the gullibles. Who are the gullibles? Hang in 1 second.
No!
Those who bought the communist lies for the last 50 years. Those who elected the first Islamo-Kamo president twice. The CIA is broken. I call it the CYA. The FBI is broken. I call it the FIB. All I ever saw Mullah do was guard mosques. I call him Mullah. He was walking around looking very important with his attaché case under his arm. But I never seen him do anything. And now they finally arrested a guy after 2 years? Come on. Tell me the truth. Tell me that you're not on the level. The IRS is corrupt, and the EPA works for China and OPEC. The Border Patrol is reliving the Alamo. They're overrun, and they're getting no help from the greatest military power on the face of the earth. No one wants to join the military and go to Fort Leavenworth or watch their wife and kids starve on jail threats with no benefits. How do you like that? That you go to war and as soon as you land in the battlefield, they read you the Miranda warning. The Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. The colleges belong to Karl Marx and Satan. Girls who are being raped in colleges now have to sign NCNDs like the Benghazi victims that were made to sign. Is that a crime or what? Huh? Listen, you can't make the college look bad, honey. You know, besides, you were probably asking for it. Yeah, what'd you do? You came too? Is that what it was? The Communist Teachers Union is preparing to destroy the last level of freedom's children, the kindergarten. The unions are communist-controlled. I never thought I'd see the day the Teamsters would sell out to Stalin. Then I know all the Teamsters are going to get upset and get real radical. But I got to tell you guys, you're not the same Teamsters. You're not the greatest generation Teamsters. No, they had two big Liberty Bells. They didn't knuckle under. All minority groups are tools of communist control, from La Raza to the once respected NAACP. The communist media puts Pravda to shame. Brainwashing by Hollywood in all that is evil is another tool of this very successful communist takeover. My question is, how do you know you're not brainwashed? The subliminal message in the movies used to be popcorn. Now it's drugs, sick sex, and dishonor the nation. The proof of the pudding is very few people dare to say the word communist. Oh, they'll call you a McCarthyite. Hey, I'll call you a Rosenberg. We the gullibles have been eating communist propaganda by the shovelful for 50 years. Now the party of Stalin controls one political party, leaving a limp Republican Party who thinks Jeb Bush will save them. It is wrong to center your focus on Obama. He is only the head puppet, for sure. But many termites are gnawing at the oak of freedom. Look at Hanoi John Kerry inviting the murderers of 220 unarmed USMC fallen, murdered in their beds by Jimmy Carter's Hezbollah in Beirut. We cut and ran under Reagan. Then President Pinocchio Pants, the love hero of the Party of Death, invited Osama bin Laden to visit New York and covered up the attack on the Clinton Towers. When the Sudan offered Clinton bin Laden, he turned it down during his daily BJ. The press sang his praises. Had he been impeached then, we would not have to impeach Obama now. Bonus, we would not be looking at a blood clot excuse for hanging up on a 911 call from Benghazi. The communist-controlled IRS purged the Tea Party, those innocent grandmas and grandpas and vets who still remember freedom. They were to be attacked by all the forces of communism. NBC, nothing but communists. ABC, always be communist. CNN, the Communist News Network. The Walter Duranty New York Times. You don't know who Walter Duranty is. He's the editor who was in bed with Stalin, who covered up the murder of 10 million Ukrainians, said it never happened. And the New York Times has not changed its spots since those days. They even endorsed Fidel Castro, calling him the George Washington of Cuba. The New York Times is the enemy of the people. The ACLU was founded by a communist, I think his name is Roger Baldwin, as a member on the Supreme Court who said Hague justice is better for Americans. Newsweek, who God put out of business, yeah, they're gone. Good riddance. On December the 7th, their Japanese issue showed an American flag in the garbage can, and that's why God punished them. We could go on and on and on. The New York City has a communist mayor. You can get a junkie methadone faster in a clinic than a vet can get an appointment in a brand new medical facility that is void of love of country. Communists pay bonuses if you kill a vet. The reason communists want to take your guns away is because they intend to kill you. All the murder examples they used to seize guns were created by crazies. You ever see a picture of all those guys who went on a shooting rampage? But the Party of Death can't go there. Because if they blame it on mental illness, that's a requirement to be a Democrat. They'll all be in the institution. I watched O'Reilly last night debating a Democrat gal who was playing, "The poor children, the poor children." Yeah, add that card to the Democrat shoe. I bet she has no kids and she's pro-choice. And O'Reilly had to say was, "Did you know today?" All he had to say was, "Did you know today we as Americans have killed 4,700 American babies? All Americans are responsible for genocide by abortion. All Americans. You look the other way, good. You get a free Pontius Pilate finger bowl. We made it law in this land. No Sig Heil, please. Use the clenched communist fist." Speaking of Nazi atrocities that ended in 1945 and were replaced by communist atrocities from Canada to Cambodia, no one dares mention the word communist. It's like a cancer that no one wants to admit they have until they are dead from it. Today we live in a broken dream run by crooked politicians and hedge fund operators where mind control hides the truth. We have now become a cover-up nation and anything goes. The 50% divorce rate started with a cover-up. Child murder is a cover-up. When you ask for time off, do you tell your boss and coworkers that you're going to have an abortion? Why not? There's nothing wrong with it, right? What? You're not getting an abortion party? Oh, yes, there is an abortion party. Can you say Democrat? The lovely lady on O'Reilly wants to save 60,000 children. And said, "What does it matter if it's 100,000? And there's that "what does it matter" quote, Benghazi quote again. How does she justify that knowing that in 13 days, we will kill 60,000 American citizens? The argument will be made they are not citizens until they escape the womb. I never thought of it as a death camp before. Could POW also mean prisoners of the womb? Obama gave us a grand parade, and he announced he got bin Laden after giving him 4 months to escape. And he announced the news at 10:30 p.m. on a Sunday night so that the bad Muslims could not see us giving out candy from our beds. If he had announced it on a Friday, the parties would have gone on over the weekend, and he would have offended his Muslim Brotherhood. And then he told us Al-Qaeda's on the run, and we marched right out of Iraq because Iran was taking over. Now he wants to negotiate a full surrender of Iraq to Iran, our new ally in the No War on Terror. I hope John Kerry does not invite the VC to sit in. Only one problem. The souls of 220 murdered Marines from Beirut still cry out for justice. In my church on the wall is an American flag, soon to be banned. There are 47 names of those who died on 9/11. One name is a fireman named Chapura. He survived the Beirut barracks bombing. But the 19 deeply religious Muslims finally got him at the WTC. All of the legless, armless, faceless GIs who were chopped to pieces by IEDs say, no way do we back Iran. Those IEDs had copper lugs in them made in Iran. They use copper for better body shredding. We owe them one nuke. We could have taken them out from Baghdad when we first arrived. Our Army of Liberation was a half hour away from Ahmadinejad's house and the Iranian parliament. We had Iran completely surrounded. Check the map. We had them completely surrounded. Our two greatest weaknesses always have been and always will be, one, the ability to negotiate in America's favor, and two, lack of intelligence. We only know about two traitors in intelligence. Private Manning, the boy, now Miss Manning, the leaker of 200,000 documents, plus KGB wannabe agent Snowden, who leaked 1,200,000 documents first to China, then to Russia. The communists call him a patriot. And you know what I wonder? If there are other KGB agents hiding intelligence at work that we're supposed to see. But it might give us an edge over the competition. So now we use our greatest weapon on what is left of a once great nation, BS. There should be a medal for BS, and the best BSer. Yep, I'm BS with him, and he's BS with me, and together we BS the gullibles. Welcome to Gullible's Travels. Go to YouTube. It is impeachment time, Abu Tam. Go to YouTube, impeachment time, Abu Tam. And you can always go to the Spirit of America Party radio show and get the latest broadcast. And if you really want to know the scorecard and see who the players are, get my book, The Spirit of America Party. The cover, on the top of the cover, it says, take me to the beach. If you take that book to the beach, you will dig a foxhole. So, let us jump over to a tune. And then, we will be doing some musica. And, I don't know if I mentioned it, but how do you know you're not brainwashed? Huh? Do you know? Are you sure? Are you sure you're not brainwashed? Huh? You know, you've been hammered for 50 years. You know, communist indoctrination doesn't happen overnight. It really doesn't. What are you watching on TV? You watching two guys kissing? Huh? You don't think that's part of communist indoctrination? Huh? They're now sticking it in love scenes? Well, you think that's by accident? Yeah. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what? Let's do a little Amazing Grace. We could use that right now. Would it bother you to learn that your tax money was used to rebuild the Soviet Union? Would that upset you? Would that upset you? There's a book called None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later. It's by a guy named John Stormer. And Jimmy from Brooklyn recommended that I get this book and read it. And he said, get the one that's 25 years later. So I'm looking at this book, and they're telling you a little bit about the author of None Dare Call It Treason. John Stormer, like most young Americans who grew up during the Depression, was the product of a conservative home and a liberal education. In the late 1950s, he gradually came to realize that the political candidates and philosophies he was asked to support in the voting booth did not reflect the standards and principles he tried to apply in his business and personal life. In 1962, after an intensive study of communism, he left a successful career as editor and general manager of a leading electrical magazine to devote full time to writing and conservative political activities. His first book, None Call It Treason, was a runaway bestseller in 1964. His four books have sold over 10 million copies. As the best-selling author, As a best-selling author, a pastor and Christian school superintendent, John Stormer has encouraged many to fulfill their responsibilities to their families, the Lord, and America. He was president of the Missouri Association of Christian Schools for 10 years. Since 1978, he has conducted a weekly Bible study in the Missouri Capitol for members of the legislature. He publishes Understanding the Times, a new periodical newsletter, and analyzing significant news and developments in foreign policy, politics, education, religion, and economics. He speaks regularly at Bible conferences and Understanding the Times seminars. A native of Altoona, Pennsylvania, he attended the Pennsylvania State University and graduated from California's San Jose University after Korean War service as an Air Force editor and historian. He is a member of the American Legion and the Council for National Policy. He has honorary degrees in Manhattan School of Theology and the Shelton College, 1976. He and his wife, Elizabeth, are 35-year residents of Florissant, Missouri, a St. Louis suburb. Their daughter, Holly, is married and the mother of four small children. Okay. I'm married and the father of four big children. Okay, so I just wanted to give you a little heads up because we're going to be reading excerpts from this man's book. And it was updated 25th anniversary edition of the None Dare Call It Treason. And here's what he asks. Are the changes in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union for real? Or could they be part of a cleverly executed long-range plan designed to disarm the United States while providing the Russians with economic aid they desperately need to bail out their collapsed economy? As a 30-year student of the world communist movement, John Stormer has the credentials to ask and answer those questions. Stormer's original None Dare Call It Treason documented how leftists of various persuasions have dominated America's schools, churches, press, labor, unions, and State Department for 70 years as they murdered 100 million people and enslaved other billions. These leftists and their disciples maintain their power bases and influence in America's basic institutions today. To prevent them from piling new tragedies on top of old, and to ensure that traditional American freedoms are not traded away for socialist dreams or new communist deceptions, America must realize what has happened in the past and why. And None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later is a tool for awakening and educating Americans so they can thwart the leftist plans for entangling the United States in a new world order. So I will be reading excerpts from this book. I will probably read the whole book between now and Armageddon. Okay, here's Walid Shubat. He is a Muslim with a he is a converted Muslim to Christianity, and he keeps his eye on America. Shocking. Company that created Obamacare website linked to Benghazi video. In a shocking discovery, CGI Federal, the Canadian company that built the Obamacare website, this guy doesn't even contract out to U.S. companies' jobs. He gives them to Canadians. Appears, and that was a chunk of money that went out of your paycheck, appears to have a connection to the Innocence of Muslims video the Obama administration blamed for the Benghazi attacks. And here's how it's done. His other article is, we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Hollywood says, no, we're not. Okay, here's how. The evidence is well established that in 2010, CGI acquired Stanley Associates, which provides services to the U.S. Federal Civilian Defense and Intelligence Agencies. Oh, man. When the crudely produced video, Innocence of Muslims, was posted to a YouTube, it needed a boost, especially since it was posted by someone no one had ever heard of before, and he had only uploaded two videos, and they were basically the same. Well, a YouTube channel known as News Politics Now 3, NPN3, has been connected to Stanley Associates, the service provider for U.S. defense and intelligence. I'm getting sick. On September 11, 2012, News Politics Now 3 uploaded a short version of the video, only 1 minute 32 seconds of it. It was, in fact, NPN3, see screenshot below, taken 19 hours after video uploaded, which gave the crude movie a new title, Innocence of Muslims, instead of the name given previously. And they got a picture of the Innocence of Muslims. They got the News Politics Now 3 on YouTube. After NPN caused the video to gain more than 4 million views of its long trailer, News Politics Now 3 took down the video on or before 9/2012. The skids of Sam Basile's YouTube channel have been sufficiently greased. His video was off and running. NPN3 had done its job of priming the pump, and then it vanished. Okay, and then they tell you that Stanley Associates is connected, and they give you the links. So it's all about the Bin Laden. And Donna Ryan, oh God, another Chippo, president, CGI Federal. It's a woman. It'll be a woman that takes us down. That's what they used to say about Saddam Hussein, it's going to be a woman who kills him. Yeah, and didn't turn out to be that way. Okay, so there's a connection. And I got to tell you, when I saw it, I was number 57. So I must have saw the original one. Okay, so having told you that, we'll go on to other things. What could that be, Tom? I don't know. Let's see what is going on here. We are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. We have tyrannical judges shutting down the votes of the American people who voted against homosexual marriage. This is all because of tolerance, and it is leading to the advancement of the Sodomite era. It's the agenda, but I'm calling it era. Okay, we're not going to go there because we've got a bucket full of crap already. Not that his article is crap, but that the topic is this thing. Same socks marriage. What a joke. You've got to have the same socks to get married. Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, I am for the LGBT community. I am 1,000% behind the LGBT community. I love lettuce, bacon, and tomato sandwiches. Yeah. Okay, let's see. We got anything here? Cheney, Obama wrong so much and so long. Oh, okay. I did that one already. I didn't do it. I sent somebody an email. Let's see what else we got here. And we're running out of time. I'm going to give you a tune. I'm going to sign off. Let's see what we got here. Did we do it again? Doctor, can't do this to me anymore. Here we go. We did. We're going to close with America the Beautiful. Okay, I got one more thing I'm going to add to the show. Chewing gum at D-Day ceremony, and this is by Don Fetter. Don Fetter, Cold Steel, this is code name. Little things mean so much. There was Obama at the Normandy ceremony marking the 70th anniversary of D-Day, a solemn occasion for most Americans and our World War II allies. There was a guy in Britain who was in a VA hospital, and he turned up missing, and they went looking for him. They don't know how he got out, and you know where they found him? He was in Normandy at the ceremony. Yeah, out of the home, he went to the ceremony, just to show you. Chewing gum like Elsie grazing in a field. Shameful, vulgar, tweeted the French, who are notoriously blasé almost about everything. At a time when his administration is hip deep in scandal and the president's approval ratings are exploring previously uncharted territory, the Dentin incident was another reminder of Obama's casual contempt for the nation he pretends to come from. I put that in there. He was twice elected to lead. Two times. It's your mistake. Largest amphibious landing in history, who cares? The start of the Great Crusade to liberate Europe from a monstrous evil, a titanic struggle in which 330,000 Americans died. To paraphrase La Belle Hillary, what does it matter? Those words are going to be with you until you die, Hillary. One historian noted, there has seldom been a date with more moral clarity in the history of humanity at war than June 6, 1944. But for POTUS, I got another acronym, the whole thing was a bore. Expressions of patriotism leave him cold. He and Michelle, history began January the 20th of 2009. Yeah, you know what? There is a YouTube video that says that lip readers at a 911 ceremony in New York caught a Hillary, caught Michelle saying, "All this for a flag?" You got to look for that YouTube. The Messiah hadn't been in office a year when he had his first no big deal moment. On November the 5th, 2009, he was speaking to a group of tribal leaders. After congratulating them on a productive meeting and giving a shout out to someone in the audience, he finally got around to announcing, "There has been a tragic shooting at Fort Hood," as if the deaths of 13 soldiers in his command was an afterthought. From the 2008 campaign on, Obama's loathing for America is the one thing you can always count on. His latest European excursion was a respite from the Bergadal blow-up. The president simply cannot believe that there are people who object to trading five terrorist leaders for one deserter. They're five terrorist leaders, but they're a cohesive group, and they function as one. The Arabs have the saying, "The fingers are different, but the hand is the same." Striking one of his classic Il Duce opposes, chin jutting out, eyes flashing defiance, Obama defended his decision. "I make no apologies for it. There is something I would do. This is something I would do again, and I continue to do whenever I have the opportunity. Endangering American lives to rescue a man who didn't deserve to wear his country's uniform." Bo Bergdahl walked away from his post looking for the Taliban. In emails to his parents 3 days before he disappeared, Bergdahl described America as the most conceited country in the world. He condemned the nation he had sworn to defend in no uncertain terms. "The horror that is America is disgusting. Of the fighting force he was part of," he sneered, "the U.S. Army is the biggest joke in the world. It's an army of liars, backstabbers, fools, and bullies. If Obama had a son, he'd fit a Bo Bergdahl's psychological profile." To chance of leave no man behind, administration officials insisted the deserter served honorably. Correction, the five men who died looking for him, six men, there is a distinct possibility they served honorably. And there's a distinct possibility that Bergdahl gave the Taliban vital intelligence. He may have went on raids. Shortly after his disappearance, its strikes on his base became far more accurate. Yes, Obama put five terrorist honchos back in action to save Private AWOL. Compare the extraordinary lengths he went to for Bergdahl with his indifference to the fate of a Marine who has been languishing in a Mexican jail for 2 months. Sergeant Andrew Tamaresi, nobody's talking about this kid. This kid is sitting there, his mind is turning into crackerjacks. Who did two tours in Afghanistan, inadvertently entered Mexico with three legally licensed firearms. The Mexicans are holding him for gun running, plausible only if he worked for the Holder Justice Department. The head of the VFW implored the president, "I write as the national commander of 1.9 million member veterans." He hates you. "Of veteran wars in the United States and his auxiliaries to urge your immediate action to secure the release of Andrew Tamaresi, from a Mexican jail. You want to get him released? You can do it tomorrow. You raise the war cry in the country. Nothing for Mexico. Nobody goes. Everybody leaves. That's it, man. And I guarantee you, 48 hours later, after they get the hotel reservation cancellations at Cozumel and all the other resorts, we will have our Sergeant Tamaresi back. But Obama wants him to die in prison. He wants to teach the Americans a lesson. The White House refers inquiries about Tamaresi to the State Department, which probably refers them to the Veterans Administration. The differences between Bergdahl and Tamaresi are stark. The latter doesn't desert. Comrades didn't die looking for him. The Marine didn't email that America is disgusting. And okay, technically we're not at war with Mexico, but I think we are. And I think we're about to realize that. You think that the Mexicans would let all of those Central Americans come into their border if they didn't intend to shove them across to the United States? If the United States shoves them back, what will Mexico do? They'll kill them and blame it on us. Though an invasion is underway, which the Mexican government quietly supports, plus the drug dealing. Yep, the Mexican drug cartel is the government. The president calls the current influx of adolescents from Central and South America a humanitarian crisis. And as his former capo, now Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, famously remarked, never let a good crisis go to waste. Not when there's communism. In 2012, Obama declared a de facto amnesty, deferred action for childhood arrivals, for those who entered the country illegally as minors prior to June 2007. So word got around that juveniles who came here illegally today would be allowed to stay. In practice, that's correct. Obama has turned the Border Patrol into what former INS Special Agent Michael Cutler calls a concierge service. This year, 90,000 of these juvenile delinquents will be apprehended crossing over from Mexico. 140,000 next year. Instead of sending them back, Obama has them transported to military bases where they are cared for until released into the general population. This includes gangbangers, drug smugglers, and those with communicable diseases like tuberculosis, and tonight they showed a guy with chickenpox. But before they're released, each gets a letter telling them to show up for a deportation hearing. To ensure that those dumb enough to comply are never sent back, Obama is asking for $2 million to fund 100 lawyers and paralegals to represent Barack's kids. For Obama, there is a really sweet deal. He gets to flood red states with natural Democratic voters. Every illegal who comes today isn't just a future Democratic voter, but someone who doesn't speak English, knows nothing of our history and heritage, and feels no loyalty to land on which he is squatting, much like the president himself. It's impeachment time, folks. He can't get away with this. We got to take him down. This is the perfect solvent for dissolving the national identity Obama despises. If we were also Muslims, it would be perfect, but the president can't have everything. Deserters and illegal aliens get the gold mine. Veterans seeking medical services get the other thing. The Daily Caller says the administration knew about reports of secret wait lists at VA hospitals in 2010. The reports were probably lost with Lois Lerner's emails. The temporary head of the VA has confirmed that at least 18 veterans died after they were put out on secret wait lists, possibly more. And the lawsuits are going to be tremendous. And you know what? This president loves lawsuits because it's another way to break the country financially. An internal audit to show that 76% of VA facility staff were told to lie about appointment data at least once. The victimized vets are guys who didn't desert, didn't collaborate, and didn't call America disgusting. They actually did serve honorably. Still, they are not the sort of people to vote for Democrats. God bless them. Not only does the president not care about the VA crisis, he can't wait to inflict this quality care on the middle class. The VA is the forerunner of Obamacare. Speaking of secrets, that's the secret goal of the Affordable Care Act. It was never intended to give the poor better care, but to give the middle class, who is the, this president wants to punish for our selfishness and inherent racism, worse care, much worse. Obama's multiple scandals turning the FBI into a community outreach organization, Fort Hood, IRS gate, Benghazi included repeatedly lying to the American people and putting out a welcome mat at our southern border, are usually explained as gross incompetence, arrogance, or trying to make reality conform to ideology. It goes much deeper. He sees the country through the lens of Jeremiah Wright with a $5 million house on Lake Michigan, Bill Ayers and George Soros. America the racist. Remember the me attorney general saying America is a nation of cowards for not perpetually doing penance for our racial sins? America the land of the unilateralist cowboys? Unilateralist cowboys? America the egotistical, the most conceited country in the world? America a nation of the perpetually disgruntled who cling bitterly to God, guns, and antipathy to people who aren't like them? In his West Point commencement address, Obama said he believes in American exceptionalism with every fiber of my being, which means a docile America that seeks permission from the international community before acting to defend itself. And America, I got to tell you, nuclear war is coming, folks. It's the next war. We are part of history, and we're not ready. And you got to be ready in 5 minutes. An America that won't fight terrorism unless there's a near certainty of no civilian casualties. The response was decidedly chilly. Fewer than a quarter of the graduating cadets gave their commander-in-chief gave him the traditional standing ovation. Oh, I didn't know that. They press covered that up. Boy, that communist media covered that up. Maybe they were picturing the president swapping terrorists who killed their buddies for a deserter or sending Homeland Security to give foot massages to those streaming across our border or chewing gum at another ceremony to commemorate the honored dead or leaving them to die on a secret wait list while he spends money on legal aid for illegals. And that's from Don Fetter. Well said, Don. Well said. It shall now be gospel. That's my job, my show, folks. We're signing off. God bless America, and let's pray we're here tomorrow.